Church, say amen again.
Amen.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I'm so excited to be here. You know, y'all know the last day of school was Friday. Boy, I'm happy. Joker's made it home safely. I ain't heard nothing. I'm feeling good. I'm just happy to be in God's house. Happy because God has blessed us. Bless me, but bless us all with innumerable blessings. And we can't even measure how many blessings we have. You know, I believe when you start thanking God for all the things that he's blessed you with, after a while, you just run out of time. Yeah, because every time you thank him, you got to thank him again for giving you the breath to thank him. You see what I'm saying? He just takes great care of his children. I'm so glad that I am one of God's children. And I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Thank the brothers who came before and led us in our worship services and did it very well. It's just good. I'm just, like I said, I'm just excited. Because God has been and God is good.
Yes,
would please turn your Bibles to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. And we'll pick up at verse 14 and go through to about verse 21. Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 14. I hope you guys have already started inviting your people to come and be with you next week for our gospel meeting. Nobody said amen. Oh, no. All right. Well, if you have not, please start reaching out to those people who have influence over. And I invite them to come to hear a word of God. It's important for them to hear God's word, especially those people who are outside the household of faith. You're offering them the opportunity to be able to see Jesus in peace. And I just think it's a good gift for you to give them, to offer them to come and be with us and learn more about the body of Christ. Now, let me tell you, you don't just have to wait till next week. You can invite them any Sunday, any Wednesday. But since we have a special Sunday, please be sure to reach out to your friends and your loved ones and those people who you know need to hear God's word and bring them. In verse 14, it says, "This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven or on earth is recognized by him. I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith and as a result having strong root in love. I ask that you will have the power to grasp love's width and length and height and depth together with all believers. I ask that you will know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen." I just read from the Common English Version. But from this passage of scripture, I want to offer you up the title, God's Gifts.
Amen.
It's important to realize that what God does for us on a daily basis is simply a gift. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's just a gift.
Amen.
And you can learn quite a bit from a gift. You can learn, gifts can show gratitude. Gifts are an extension of a personality. Gifts show effort, love, time, and energy. And gifts, the feeling of giving and receiving a gift transcends time. When, you know, some gifts, you know, may wither away, but the feeling that you get from receiving a gift transcends time. You know, the thought, that the feeling you get when you give someone something, or the feeling you get when somebody's giving you something that you know comes from their heart, just seems to stick with us. It's some gifts that I've received, and those gifts, you know, may be old. They might not even be able to function anymore. But because of the person who gave it to me, and the heart and the mind they had when they gave it to me, the gift still means a lot to me. You know, my father gave me, and it didn't even have a battery in it, but my father gave me his grandfather's pocket watch. And that gift just means something to me. It can't tell time anymore. And it's such an older item, I'm afraid to take it to the watch store to even get a battery in it. I don't want them to break it. But the idea of the gift actually serving its purpose, that is not what really matters. It's the fact that it was given to me out of love and out of admiration and who it belonged to. Y'all follow me? You can learn a lot about a gift. And I want, as a matter of fact, I'm going to help you. I want to give out a few. I want to give out some gifts. Yeah, and I want you to make at the end some assumptions as it relates to the gift. Brother Jones, would you come here? And I'm going to give you this gift. Hold on to it. Don't open it. Stand up. Stay there. And then let me see. Eric, come on. You get one of these gifts too. Get you a gift. Don't open it now. Don't open it. And Tamika, come get a gift. Come here, Tamika. Come get a gift. Hurry up now. Slide on away from the kids and come on over here and get a gift. And I want you all to look at these gifts, and then we want to talk about the gifts a little bit, and then we want to look at the gifts that God has given us. All right? Kayla, come get a gift. You're my wife. Come on. Y'all come on up here. Come on right up here. Come on, Kayla. Hurry up now. Levi, stay there. Don't come up. Don't come. And I want you all to see these gifts. Now, Brother Jones, open your gift. What you get?
Knock boots.
Oh. You love it. What you get?
Quarter.
Brother Jones got a quarter. Right? When he opened the gift, he said, not much. Eric, go ahead and open your gift. What you get?
A dollar.
So how do I, based on the gift that I gave Brother Jones and the gift that I gave Eric, one would assume what? I like Eric a little bit better. All right, Tamika, what you get? What you get? $100. I need all my gifts back. But the idea is that based on what I gave, if I give him, sit down, Levi. If I gave him a quarter, and I gave him a dollar, and I gave $100, you would assume, based on the quality or the amounts of my gift, that I'm actually showing you how I feel about each person. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, my wife, come on. Oh, let me see what you got. Open that thing up. Now, what you?
I got a note.
What, you got a note?
Yes.
Read it real quick. You don't have to read out loud. Just read it to yourself. All right, now you don't know what my daughter said to my wife. But let me tell you something. And she knows that she can confirm that I'm telling the truth. I gave Brother Jones a quarter. I gave Eric a dollar. I gave Tamika $100. I gave my wife a letter. My wife's gift cost less than all three of those things, but it meant more. Am I right? It wasn't about, it was because of what I wrote. Y'all follow me? You can tell a lot about how somebody feels based off of what they are willing to give, right? So what I want us to understand, we look at the text and we look at this scripture. Y'all can sit down and give my gifts back. Kayla, you keep yours. You keep yours. All right, Kayla, knock Tamika up the head and get that back. That's the light bill money. What you can tell a lot by gifts. The text says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches that you may be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. Right? I want you to just put a little marking right there. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just underline that, right, underline that. It says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have the power with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of God. Together with all the Lord's holy people, I want you to underline that. And then go back up, and I want you to say, and I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Those are three things, okay? I want you to understand. God's gifts show us how he feels about us. So it's important that we recognize the quality of the gifts and then respond accordingly. Y'all hear me? It's important that you understand that God is just so good that he has given us some things. And sometimes what happens is, if you're not careful, you will look at the letter that I gave my wife, attach the wrong meaning to it, and decide that Tamika's gift was better. And the reason why you will do it is because you will place value on the wrong thing. See, you will look and say, oh, that costs more. It has to be a better gift. But sometimes it's not the things that are the most expensive that are the best gifts. It's the things that are given from the right place, from the heart, the things that you cannot add money to that matters. Guess what? If Tamika was able to keep that $100, she not. But if she was, she could spend that money on dinner. And it's all gone. And once she get finished being full, the dinner's gone. My wife can that letter that I gave her can be burned, but she'll always know what was in it because of who gave it and why I gave it. Y'all follow me? So sometimes what happens is that God gives us things, and we forget or we don't understand what God has given us, and as a result, we mistreat it or we don't value the gift in the way that it should be valued. So I want to highlight just a few gifts. Now, Paul says here, Paul prays that the Christians may be able to grasp the meaning, the breadth, the depth, the length, and the height of the love of Christ. All of this is a prayer. Paul invites us to look at the universe, its limitless powers. And he said, and he wants us to know that all of the universe and everything that is in it, God's love is just that vast. Y'all follow me? So because of God's love, he has given us some things. Y'all ready? The first gift that God has given us, and the things that he's given us, it's evident in his gifts. The gifts are evidence of his love. Remember this, y'all. The gift is evident of the love. And he told us the love was wide. It was the breadth and depth and the height. So the gifts are evidence of God's love. So if you want to know how much God loves you, then you need to see what he gave you. Very first thing God gives us. He gave us, look, open this right here, right? What is this? We're going to open up each one of those gifts. Take that out, Eric. Gift number one, what is it? It's the cross. God gave us his son to die on the cross. Yeah. See, sometimes we forget how important that is. Each time we look at it, turn the other way, Eric. Yeah, that's it. Or that way, it don't matter. Each time we look at the cross, we should be reminded that Jesus died for you and for me. See, you can put the gift down. I have come to the point to realize that the reason why we walk around sometimes a little bit void of joy, or the reason why we walk around with way too much worry, is because sometimes we forget how valuable God dying on the cross and rising was. See, we don't understand how great of a gift that was. Every time you look at the cross, you should look, and it's just a symbol, but we should look at the cross, and you should be able to say, man, let me tell you what the cross says. You were in sin. That means you were separated from God. You was about to die in your sin. If you die in your sin, then you would have to spend eternity in hell. Y'all acting like this ain't big. You were in sin. We were mankind in sin, which means our life would have been spent in a place of eternal damnation and a place of wrath and a place of misery. And God decided to send his son to die on the cross for us because we could not do what the cross could do for us. That's a gift, y'all. Y'all don't really understand this. I think sometimes we forget how big and how wonderful and a gift it was that Christ died for us. He died not because we were good, but because we needed salvation. It's just good for somebody to do something for you because you just need it. Anybody ever do that for you? It just feels a certain kind of way. It's one thing for somebody, you to ask, I'm hungry, and somebody bring you food. But it feels totally different when somebody recognizes that you need something. They recognize that you're hungry, and they meet that need because they know you need it. We could not have done anything that would have allowed God to give us the cross. God just gave us Jesus to die on the cross because he knew we needed it. What a gift. The cross shows God's concern for a lost man. I need you to understand. There's a story about a young man that went to war. And when he went to war, he lost his arm. And when he got back, he came back from surgery and everything, and he was in a barracks, and his commanding officer said to him, he said, "Do you want me to write a letter for you to your parents and your loved ones and telling them that you lost your arm in war?" And the man looked at his commanding officer and he said, "I didn't lose my arm. I gave my arm." What he was saying is, when I went to battle, I love what I was fighting for so much that nothing could be taken from me. I was freely giving it away. See, I want you to understand, the Bible doesn't say God so loved the world that he lost his only begotten son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That shows that God has a great concern for a lost world. Y'all follow me? Don't ever, ever underestimate the gift. Gift number one is what? The cross. It's another gift. Come here, Dom. Open that second bag. What's in that bag? What is it? Huh? It's the Word of God. Guess what, y'all? That's a gift. Y'all not hearing me? That's a gift. The Bible says so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Guess how Christians find themselves rooted in love and in faith? By the Word. I hope y'all writing this down. See, because what happens is we forget that the Word of God is actually a gift for us. See, the Bible presents the message of God. Us. Man does not have to live in darkness. God has presented the revelation of his will to man through his word. You can put it down, Dom. I don't want you standing there looking, feeling funny. We need to recognize the value of the word of God. Some of us struggle and we take the word for granted. We have to understand the word of God is our motivation to God. Somebody go to John 20:31. John 20:31. And then we're going to go to 2, because I need you to understand that the word of God is real and it's good. John 20 and verse 31.
But these are written. That you may believe.
Yeah.
The Son of God.
Yes.
And that believing,
yes,
you may have life.
Yeah. So he says the things that are written first so that you can believe that Christ is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And so the Word of God is designed for you to believe that Christ is the Son of God. But then the other gift, believing is one gift, and the But the second gift is, and that you can have what? Life. Life in his name. The word of God is confirmation that you have life. Some of us don't even think about the Bible until Sunday morning. Go ahead to 2 Timothy 3 and 16, Brother Jones. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, because I need you to understand how important this word of God is. See, the word is just powerful. Everything that's in the word of God is inspired by God. Go ahead.
And is profitable. For doctrine.
Yeah, for
For reproof.
Yes.
For correction.
Yes.
For instruction.
Yes.
That the man of God may be complete.
Yes.
Thoroughly equipped.
Yeah.
The Bible says
that the word of God is inspired by God. And the reason it's inspired by God is to help to show you for some mistakes, for correcting you, and for teaching you, to train your character. And then it says, so that every man that belongs to God can be equipped and be ready. So don't you tell me you're struggling, you need answers, you need clarity, but haven't searched the word of God. You messing up the gift. People come to me sometimes and say, Brother Mason, I just don't know what to do. My life is just going and my other and my kids and my sister and my this. And then, you know, I was starting to say things like, well, let's turn to scripture. And you know them same people that'll be needing help will look at me like, oh, no. Bring up the Bible. That's what the Bible's for. It's a gift that's going to help you. It's going to correct you. It's going to help you understand how to do things right. But we don't value the word of God. I love my friend Trey because he inspires me to read the Bible. You know, when we'll be talking about something and we'll be on something totally different and I'll be trying to talk about how I'm thinking about this and thinking about that. And then he'll say something like, well, you know, D, in the Bible, it. And I'll be saying, oh, yeah, the Bible. Before you go to bed, I know you like to watch the news. You like to look at Instagram. You like to do all those things, read your email. It's probably a better practice to read the Bible. Why do you say that? Let me help you. When the last thing you watch before you go to bed is CNN, what's the first thing on your mind when you wake up? CNN. Right? Whatever you put in, my wife is hilarious. She watches shows and we watch a really good, like a crime show. Right? And let's say it's a little serious. We can't go to sleep right after that. She always tells me, nah, we need to watch something funny. And I say, we need to watch something funny because she don't want to go to bed with whatever it is that we watched that wasn't funny on her mind. So we'll watch Law and Order and then have to watch The Cosby Show. Y'all follow me? Because she wants the last thing on her mind when she goes to sleep to be good thoughts. Y'all follow me? Well, let me tell you, a better practice for my wife and I are not to watch Law and Order and then The Cosby Show. It's probably a better practice for us to read the Bible. But some of us, our Bible is only good for collecting dust on the shelf. Those of you who have your Bible app, this is just for those of you who don't have hard copy Bibles anymore. I want you to do something this week. I want you to look at the usage of your apps and see which one gets used more, your social media account or your Bible. I'm just saying doing that. And those of you who have hard copy Bibles that use them as symbols but not as guide, I got my Bible sitting on my dining room table. You ain't opened it. You're mistreating the gift. God's gift shows us how he feels about us. So when God says, I gave you the word of God to correct you, to show you mistakes, to help you get better, that's the way we need to use it. If we realize the importance of this love letter from God, our whole life will change. If you read the Bible and search what's in it and realize that what's in the Bible is simply God's love letter to you, it changes everything. It changes everything. How do you know? All right. Because when my wife opened her envelope, I said, what did you get? She said, a note. Y'all saw it, didn't you? And then I said, read it. Now, when she got it, she said, a note. When she read it, she said, y'all follow me? Because the note was not just words on a paper. It was a love letter from her husband. It changes everything. The content of what is written changes everything when we realize who wrote it. So when you read the Bible, stop reading the Bible trying to fit, thinking that it's God telling you what you can't do. And read the Bible realizing that it's God's love letter showing you all the freedoms that you have. If you do. I'm just trying to help somebody. Gift number two is what? Y'all got to talk back to me. I'm a teacher. Gift number two is what? The word of God. Gift number one was what? The cross. The last thing. And I know we sometimes forget about this. But this is a very, very important gift. The church. Look at this. The church. The Bible says in the verse 1 Corinthians, he says that you can do it together. Y'all, this is important. That is important. That is important. Come on, somebody. That's important. God gave us one another. When I'm going through something, I need a gift from God, and sometimes it's not just the word, it's the people that believe the word with me. Stop underestimating the church. Church is powerful. The text says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Then 18 says, and that you may have power. How? Together with who? All the Lord's who? Holy people. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's a gift. I know sometimes, I'm going to use the words my student use. I know sometimes we petty in church. And we, because we all flawed. When I say petty, y'all say, we not petty. Wait. Sometimes we're a little petty. We don't all the way do right. But overall, we are gifts to one another. The difference is, do I have enough faith in God and enough love for him and enough love for you to overlook your flaws and see your heart? You realize God left us the church because he needed us to do something together. God is all powerful, amen? Does whatever he wants to, amen? God could have taken you, me, you, given you an island, given me an island, given you an island, all by himself. Why couldn't he? He could have, right? But he didn't. He gave us one world and put you, me, and you in it. And then, not only did he put us in one world, in the same world, then he put you in High Street, me in High Street, you in High Street, you follow me, in the body of Christ. Why would God do that? Because I need you, you need me, I need you, you need me, we need us. It's a gift. God's body is a gift. The church is more than a building. That's the reason why I get frustrated when we go, the only time we want to become the church is in the building. The church is way more than a building. The church is the people of God, and it's the body of Christ. And if you look at Acts 2:47, it says that they were added to the church on a daily basis. I'm trying to help you. The church is his flesh and his blood that's left upon the earth to do his will. Y'all, come on. We need to stop treating the church with apathy and show the love and respect that Christ showed when he gave his life for it. Sometimes we are apathetic Christians. Y'all know what apathy means? Without feeling. Just here. Just here. I go here. Where you go to church? High Street. You love God? Uh-huh. God been good to you? Sure have. Just apathetic. You love your brother? Yeah, he cool. You love your sister? She all right. Just no feeling. When somebody says, you love Eric, I should say, yeah. That's my brother. When he struggle, I struggle. When he happy, I'm happy. When he fall, I pick him up. When I fall, he picks me up. When I need love, he gives it. When I need mercy, he gives it. And I do the same thing in return. Why? Because that's my brother. How did he become my brother? He came in his body of Christ. Who gave me that? God gave it to me. As what? A gift. This right here is a gift.
That's right.
I need him. I need him. God gave us each other. The church is one of God's finest gifts to man. Cain thought of it in the mind of Christ. He empowered it by the Holy Spirit of God, and he purchased it with the Son of God. Y'all think God would have went through all of that if it didn't matter? I need you to love each other. I need you to understand that the value of the gift shows the depth of his love. God didn't just give us the cross. He didn't just give us Jesus. To sustain us, and he gave us the people of God to walk with and to live with and to grow together with and to fight with. I want to know sometimes that I got somebody to fight with. Ever walked outside and it was dark, and when you walked outside, the first thing you thought was, I should need to go back in. Well, maybe you just had to walk in the dark. And then in your mind, you thought to yourself, I sure wish I had somebody with me. I just wish there was somebody with me. Fight with me. Walk with me. That's the church. You lose someone in your life. That's a dark time. When you walk into that grief, you walk in and you say to yourself, I sure wish I can go back. But you can't. You got to walk. And you should feel confident that when you're walking, there's somebody to walk with you. That should be your brother. That should be your sister to walk with you. When you run into financial trouble, that's a dark time. And you want to go back. But you can't. You're in it now. And what you want is somebody to walk with you. Help you get through it. You might not need to give me no money. Just give me something to eat. Or just tell me how when you was broke, you got through. Your kids act up. That's a dark time. But let me tell you something. You ain't the only person in church who kids acted up. When you're walking through that dark time, you need somebody to walk with you. I can go on for days. Your husband, your wife, your job. Well, guess what? God gave you somebody that'll walk with you, and they're in this room. It's a gift. So the question is, how do you know God's love? look at his gifts. The gifts are meaningful. They're valuable. Their gifts are concern. Gifts of importance. Gifts that have stood the test of time. Y'all, let me just tell you, God loves you. The question is, do you love him? Do you love him? Because when a gift is given, there always has to be a response. God's response, God's expected response, is for you to accept his son. Believe on him with all of your heart. Believe that he hung bled and died on the cross. Repent of your sins, confess the sweetest name of him, and be baptized. That's the response to the gift. And then once you take that gift, once you've done those things, then your next response is do everything you can to stay in good alignment with God himself. See, because the gift keeps on giving. So the response has to keep on coming. Y'all hear me? See, God didn't just give his son. God, every day that you wake up, it's evidence that God gave his son and is continuing to allow us to walk in grace and mercy. So every day if you get new mercies, then your response should be the same every day. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to love the best I can. I'm going to give the best I can. Why am I giving this thing? Because God gave to me first, and he gave some amazing gifts that I just have to respond. When my wife got, y'all saw Tamika when she got the $100. Her response was priceless. Did you see Brother John when he got his quarter? He said, not much. He responded. When Tamika got the $100, she said, woo, 100. There has to be a response. God gave you his son. You just say, woo, let me walk right. Ooh, let me live better. Ooh, let me love right. Let me do the things that I need to do to make God happy. Why? Because I'm just responding to the gift. He's worthy of that. You have a chance to respond. Go ahead and stand to your feet. You have a chance to respond right now. You can respond to his glory. You can respond to his gifts. You can respond to his grace. You can respond to his mercy. You can respond to all the things that God continues to give to you. And he's expecting for you to respond. I knew that all of them was going to respond to those gifts. I knew it. God is expecting you to respond to what he gave you. And since the gift is so good, the response should be a great response as well. Amen. Amen. Why don't you ask the Savior to help you? Come on down. Oh, come.